What are we? What makes us what we are? And what we're gonna be? I think it's that right there. It's grit. It's grit.
And we're back. Unbelievable, boys. 11-1. Following a Thanksgiving miracle. The miracle at Motown.
History, boys. History.
Episode 2.
How we feeling, right. Lions fans? I feel like it's 50-50 still.
Yep.
Some people got like a bitter taste in their mouth. We'll talk about it.
We'll get into it. How we doing, boys? I'm your humble host, Caleb Annual. Joined alongside the soundboard machine, Adrian Labra. Joined alongside Plaque's daddy, son, Plaque's, repping the all grit hat. And of course, Clay, the statistician, Clay. No, I think that was Plaque's, wasn't it?
Yeah, it kind of took over a little bit.
Who's our stat guy? Plaque's, and then Clay's just here for the good looks.
Jumpman.
All right, boys. So, we've been on it. Let's let the people know we have, of course, a little text chat. And following the game on Thursday, I turned off my phone. I told them, guys, I need some time alone. and Plaque's immediately doubled down. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna put my phone off as well. Excuse me. That was probably my most disappointing win of the season. I was not happy with it for several hours afterward. I know we're going to get into injuries, but just the game itself, you know, first half, beautiful, right? Like everything was happening. And then second half, it's just like, can we score one time to win the game? And you know, that's so I was not, it was an ugly, ugly win. Everyone says a win's a win, and it is, but man,
I even think the first half wasn't perfect. We left a lot of points on the field, mm-hmm. could have easily been a 28-0 game.
I know.
Penalties kind of stopped us in the red zone. We haven't had that issue throughout the season thus far, and we kind of field goal, you know. Field goals, you shouldn't rely on them to win games, but sometimes you have to. But left a lot of points out there in the first half.
We definitely did, man.
A lot of meat left on the bone. That was one thing. I mean, it was nice to get that one late touchdown, kind of stretch it out a bit. But it did feel like that Gibbs fumble at the end. That was a momentum swinger.
That's his first fumble of the year, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, we're not going to give him too much crap. He kind of got blindsided on.
He did.
Really just a beautiful play. Yeah, wasn't really a blindside hit, but he put his hand on the ball, popped it loose. But that was really that was the dagger right there.
Right. Yeah. That was
the first thing I thought of. I mean, it's hard because I think at that point, it was like middle second quarter or towards the end, the Bears had like 15 yards total offense.
Mm-hmm.
But with the two field goals, the fumble, you know, it kind of did feel, I can't say I seen it the second half coming, but it did feel like, okay, they're still in striking distance. And plus they got the ball to start the second half. And how many times in any sport, really, you see a team play a dang near flawless first half.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to follow it back up with another flawless second half. And we'll get into that, but I mean, hate to give Chicago too much credit, but they didn't give up, and we kind of we left the door open for them.
Right,
and they knew it too. Even the former Bears coach said at halftime that they were going to be ready the second half, and they were. So,
what'd you think, Adrian?
Yeah, the game gave me. I was telling Eden as we were watching, especially towards the end, the whole game reminded me and triggered me from that 49ers NFC championship game. Because the first half was flawless.
That's what I'm saying.
And then the second half, everything bad that could happen happen. You know, it started with, you know, we're at the 3-yard line. Amara St. Brown, uncharacteristic of him, but he gets beat off that block. So then he's kind of like forced to hold him, get called back. That ends up in a field goal. You know, the fumble again, you know, Gibbs, Jameson, you know, loses cool. I'm not as mad about it anymore, but, you know, gets, we kill that drive. And then at the end of the game, just happens to be Vildor gets called on a terrible call by the officials on, you know, on a defensive pass interference, which I don't think existed. And I'm like, at that point when they got that, because it was fourth down, right? It was like, oh, yeah, we won the game. And then they called it. Yeah. I was like,
uh-oh, Plaxton stepping up to the mic. Let Plaxton, he's stepping up to the mic.
Oh, my God. It felt like 6 years ago. Was it really? It's like, it was a it was like a bad call, but it's almost like he didn't give him any other option. This guy's 40 yards right downfield. The ball and the receiver, who was that? Was it Keenan Allen?
It was DJ Moore.
Or DJ Moore. So he stopped his route, and he gave up on the play.
Right. Like he always does.
And this dude is bare, just holding him two arms. Why are you doing that?
Yeah,
and like gave the refs
something to
the refs suck. Yeah. Both sides, I think, both sides got screwed.
Horrible officiating. Like
it was
game
terrible, but it was just so. It was so for America fitting,
so they could watch a close game.
Yeah,
they wanted OT. I think they wanted OT, and they wanted for entertainment wise.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like the one thing I'll say about officiating is, yes, it was horrible. It was terrible. But at least it was terrible with both sides where I felt like it was even. Yep. Like sometimes it's lopsided. It was terrible on both sides, and it kind of was even. So I'll just leave with that. But
all right,
I was so happy, dude, when the game was over. Like, I don't care how we won, how ugly it was. To me, it was a win is a win. Let's just grab our stuff. Let's go home, and we're 11-1. Let's just go.
All right, we're talking about zebras. Plax, is that it for you? Was that the worst call of the day for you? I mean, because you could go down the line if you guys can think about your worst call. I'll give you one, give you guys time to think. I think I lost my voice with the Keenan Allen touchdown.
Yep, that first one?
The first one.
Yes.
I watched the play 4 times, and you see, I think it was Muhammad coming off the side, mm-hmm, and their tackle just has him by the neck, and he's pushing up, and Muhammad is trying to turn that corner, and he's holding him, right when the quarterback lets go, the tackle lets go of his arm, and you can see, you know, they always do that little, almost like a flop look where the hand's here, and they're trying to get the call. He did it. He had it for 3 or 4 seconds. No flag. I'm sitting there going, that's a hold, and it turns to be a touchdown. I mean, and I'm still waiting for the flag after he's doing his turkey dance.
Yeah.
Nothing. That was my worst obvious penalty that they didn't call.
I mean, on the Bears side, I think the horse collar. Or somebody. It was soft. And like from the backside where the ref was, it did look like, I could tell how he would think it looked like a horse collar. It wasn't. But the one thing, the glaring thing to me, and I don't know if the play clock that they show on TV is 100% accurate with what's on the field.
It's not.
There was 10
delay games, man.
10 or 15 where it's clearly at zero.
Yep.
And then a second Caleb Williams is not clapping his hands yet for the snap.
Yep.
So, I mean, it could just be like a split second off.
I've always been told that the TV play clock and the actual – it's not exactly right. So what we're seeing is not right.
Well, then I don't want to see it. I don't want to know what it is.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's what I was going to say, too. There's for me, so many delayed games.
Like, yeah. Dude. Yeah. Right. What put Saul on the wound later, Caleb, is it was like, I don't know, 20 minutes later, they do a replay of the touchdown, and they do that little spotlight, the highlight on the hold.
Yeah.
On TV. Yeah. Oh, man, that hurt. Because I feel like that's where their momentum started. And it was on.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. There was bad calls on both sides. So
is there any glaring ones that stand out to Adrian and Clay?
I was going to say the delay of games as well. But,
oh, okay. Yeah.
And I'm not bailing J-Mo at all. J-Mo was in the wrong, and they're always going to get the second guy. But he was shoved, and that's why he threw the ball. But
yeah,
like there was no right for it. But I'm not justifying it. But
it was just inexcusable, especially at that point in the game where we had that great drive coming back to really seal the deal.
Yep.
Well, that was on a third down, second or third down two for a first down. Mm-hmm.
And our offense was jiving, man. For once in the second half.
That was the last good drive of the game for our offense.
Missed field goal.
Yep.
Had to happen at some point, but.
Right. Yep, man. It was bound to happen.
Yeah.
It was bound to happen for Bates to miss a kick. Like, I don't know. I don't know what the stats are if a kicker's ever gone perfect during the regular season, but. You know, I don't blame him for that one. That was tough.
That just felt like the unraveling.
Yeah, it felt like the old line.
Like the unraveling was happening at such a rapid rate, and that was almost like a confirmation.
Game of Lions is dead, but still lives in the back of our heads. Like you're just.
I know, it's just triggering. We're all traumatized from it.
Well, dude, just like you said, it goes back to the NFC Championship. You know, NFC Championship game last year. I mean, you have a Jameer fumble. And or with the exchange, you have a pass hit off Vildor's face mask. You have your third string
on third down. Yeah.
Exactly. Wide receivers dropping.
Momentum is such a crazy thing, man.
It is. It's true. So speaking of momentum, the Lions are starting to lose a little momentum here. What do I mean by that? Well, injuries. So we are talking. We're going to go into some breaking news. Hit the sounder, Adrian. We got some breaking news. Live, Wood TV 8. This just in. Malcolm Rodriguez, our fourth string linebacker, who was pressed to play because our first three string linebackers are injured. Actually, just two, just Barnes and Anzalone. But, our fourth linebacker is out for the year, torn ACL. That was playing first string.
Yeah, dude. The injuries are what made me upset about this game. It's just frustrating. It's like, what do you do? Like, these guys had 4 days to recover from Indianapolis, and you could tell everybody was cramping up, and they kept, you know, Zadarius and who was it, Reader. They kept having to come off the field with cramps and. That has to do with your body and just like how it performs and prone to higher increase of injury. And that's what happened. It stinks. It's nobody's fault. Just how it happens.
Yep. So for those that aren't on our YouTube stream yard, so Adrian pulled up a chart here. Listen to some of the injured reserves. I'll just go down the list here. Jalen Reeves-Maven, injured reserve. Is there a potential chance he comes back this year? There is, right?
We'll have to look it up.
Okay, so Hutchinson's out for the year on IR. I don't even know who David Batta is, but he's out. John Kaminsky is out. Derek Barnes is out. Alex Anzalone might come back at the end of the year. He's out. Enos Rakestraw all of a sudden hit the IR on Sunday or Saturday.
Yep.
So there's 4 weeks without him. Melifonwu, which we talked about, is on injured reserve. Some dude named Nate Lynn, and we know Kyle Pecco, they're both on IR. Marcus Davenport's on IR, and now Malcolm Rodriguez is out for the year.
Yep.
Oh, we didn't even think. Yeah, we got Makai Wingo, questionable. Levi Onwuzurike, questionable. Emmanuel Mosley was out the other day. Josh Pascal and Carlton Davis are all out and questionable. It's just.
Yep. Man. That's just the defense. Like, you know, Khalif Raymond is a huge part of our special teams. He's just a reliable wide receiver. He's on IR. And Taylor Decker, bro, it's tough.
Even St. Brown was questionable. I mean, everybody.
Yeah.
And like, you get to this part of the season. That's something I've talked to AG about, our guest on the last podcast, is he says once you get through spring practice, you're not 100%. That's the last time you're 100%.
Dan Campbell said that, yeah.
Then you get 11, 12 weeks into the season, plus a few preseason games in the middle, or in the beginning, you know, this is, it's going to happen. But, man, it just seems like it's stinking stacking up. And we've been, I think, with our scheme and coaching, we've been able to overcome it and kind of mask it. And we're not going to complain about being 11-1 and winning a game. But it just kind of seems like it's going to get to that point where it's finally going to start to show up. And yeah, that's right. Kind of the only thing that's kind of left an uneasy feeling in my stomach.
Yep.
I do like move today, though, with Dan Quinn. Alexander. I mean, not Dan Quinn, but you know what I mean. Whatever.
Yeah, talk about this. I have no idea who this linebacker is. Have you guys seen him? Quan Alexander from the Broncos?
He had a few nice years in the past, but I can't say I'm like super familiar with him. But he was he was a starter for a long time.
He's a Pro Bowler.
Yeah. He's been in the league for 10 years.
He's a seasoned vet.
We just need bodies at this point, really. Yeah.
If you can tackle, just come on board, please.
And that's what's more even sad about the Melifonwu thing. It's like, this dude should be in right now. Like, I don't care if he's a rushing safety on every down, but like,
right?
My gosh, it's just,
you know what I was thinking, bro? It's like Vaki played safety in college. Yeah. Like, put him in at linebacker, bro. He's a football player. Like, at some point, I feel like he's an emergency defensive player at this point.
Absolutely, dude. Absolutely. So, there's our breaking news. Just horrible. And honestly, I guess that's kind of why I'm down. Like,
yeah,
I could care less if we lost the game yesterday because we're still going to the playoffs. But like, to see all these losses of the Malcolm thing, and then people are falling down left and right, and it's just like, man, the attrition on this team is the only Achilles heel of this team. Like, we have coaching, we have players, but like, if you cannot stay healthy to make it to the Super Bowl, you're not going to make the Super Bowl. And that's what we're, that's how far we are. So that's what we're thinking. And so that's why I'm down.
Even Amber told me yesterday, she's like, do you think the later we get into the season that this is really going to be a problem? And I was like, I need to go take a walk. Like,
Megan said the same thing. It's crazy to my wife, man.
I know. It's like when she just shows up, walks in and like just has like top tier analysis because it's so obvious. It like
pours the salt in a little
bit.
It
also pisses me off too. But it just seems.
That music is my whole last 24 hours.
It just feels like we're
I know, bro. And we're 11-1. And we're 11-1.
I know. It just seems like we're gonna get robbed of a Super Bowl. And it's like, I'm trying to be humble and grateful. Right. Tis the season, I suppose. But it's like the Packers. I mean, it's crazy because like the hype train that the Lions have had last several weeks, it's been fun. But I just feel like all I have seen on social media is people just saying, oh, they're not, because probably it's like the first time a majority of the country has really watched the Lions because it's a national TV game on Thanksgiving.
Very true.
Yep. Oh, they're not even that good, or they haven't even played nobody, and golf isn't that good. And it's like the whole
narrative
has completely switched, and it's like, bro, we're still an 11-1 team. We're still really good, but you got teams like, you know, the Phillies and Buffalo coming on strong, and it's about when you peak.
Yep.
And you know, I still think we're going to be a tough out no matter what happens. But I mean, there's still a lot of serious football left to be played.
Yeah,
I like how you said that. Oh, go ahead, Adrian.
I was just saying, those are the people that really just don't know football. They're like, oh, you barely beat the Bears. Like, you haven't even watched football. Like, these Bears took Minnesota to overtime. They you know, Packers barely lost to them. Like, the Bears have a good roster. They were just not managed well by that coach.
They could be 9-3. But those are good
players being paid millions of dollars as well, just like our players, and they're going as hard as they can as well. So, yeah. I mean, like, you know, the Chiefs almost lost to the Carolina Panthers, and Carolina's at the bottom. So, I don't want to hear it. Like, these are professionals that they're trying just as hard as our guys are.
It's really fun to make fun of them, but...
Yeah. Go ahead, Clay said it right. it all started with the Washington fail Mary, and then that just broke their back, and they haven't pulled up out of it yet. They've lost four straight, five straight, whatever.
We know how that
is. They've lost six straight.
Yeah.
So, all right, boys. So we're talking about coaching differences, right, Adrian? You said this team was – it's a good team, the Bears are, but their coaching is just, you know. So we're going to go into a little bit of insight here that Adrian pulled up. Adrian went back to week two to pull some audio. This dude is deep diving like who's a deep diver? Yeah. He's going deep. All right. He's got some audio. We're going to listen. Do you want to do Eberflus first?
I'll do it. Yeah. So, you know, I just wanted to show people the differences of what a good leader is and what a bad leader is. And, you know, it can be obvious, but I wanted to compare. So first, we're going to hear Matt Eberflus on his press conference when they asked him why he made that decision. And let's see what he does.
Yeah, so right there, we liked the play that we had, and we were hoping that he was going to call it or, you know, get the ball snapped, and then we would have called timeout right there. But once it's under seven there, you know, then you call timeout there, then you're basically throwing the ball to the end zone. Because once it's under 12, you can't throw it inside with no timeout. And it was third going into fourth. You know, so that's a big deal. So it was third going into fourth. That's why we wanted to preserve the timeout. So how, in retrospect, how should you handle the timeout? Yeah, I like what we did there. Again, once it's under seven, you know, you're gonna call, you know, timeout there, or actually under 12. And then really you don't have an option. You know, because it's third to fourth, you got to throw it into the end zone then. So to me, it's I think we handled it the right way. I do believe that, you know, you just re-rack the play, get it in bounce, and call timeout, and that's why we held it and didn't work out the way we wanted it to.
Did this fool just say we handled it the right way?
Yes, that's what he said. Bro, that makes – and then he's trying to explain that. That makes no sense what he's talking about.
They makes had no the right sense. Call. Just didn't execute it.
L7.
First of all, what does he mean? What does he mean by seven? Is he talking about seconds?
7 seconds.
Yeah, because I think he's talking about, like, once you have less than seven, like, that's your play. Like, if you don't call timeout,
that's your go route.
Then, like, you're in bounds. You know what I mean? Like, remember Dallas when they lost the game?
Yeah.
Enough time. Like, that's. I think that's what he's referring to. But it didn't actually have a timeout.
It's amazing he's talking about 7 and 12 seconds when there was 34 seconds on the clock. That's what he's not understanding.
Yep, exactly.
34 seconds on the clock after that sack. Immediately, if I'm a Lions fan and I see Jared Goff go down on a sack, you take the timeout.
Immediately.
Yeah.
And you or if it's 3rd and 26. Still have time to put it in the middle of the field and get a first kick down and spike it.
Yeah.
And so I went pacing afterwards because I thought they called the timeout. So I went in the kitchen and paced, and I come out, and I see Williams, and I see the clock at 9 seconds, and I'm like, oh, my.
They didn't take the timeout. We're only 6 seconds left.
Yeah, he's, like, trying to read the blitz and, like, doing this extra stuff that it's like, okay, keep it going. Keep it running. But, no, that's just, like, obviously people know that Eberflus got fired today. But he did not take accountability even after the 8th game that they have lost this season. So, like, the dude can't just say, like, I was wrong. I mishandled it. That's on me. Because it was on you. You're the head coach. You're supposed to call timeout. You're supposed to take control. So, in comparison, I just want to be grateful, right? Plaque said, 'tis the season to be grateful. And look at what our leader, our head coach, said after just our only loss in the season. He had a missed clock management in the first half of the Buccaneers game. Let's listen to that. I'll turn up the volume.
You know, I asked for improvement from last week was the story. And we did improve. We did improve. And their coach cost them. Their head coach cost them this one. So critical error in the half. And 100% on me.
Wow.
Is that easy? Is that easy?
Good old. And he does that. Maybe he saves his job for the weekend. Who knows? But
yep.
Crazy, man. Demon, you got to fall on the sword, man. You have to.
Yep. It's on you.
You know, I'm trying to think back to week two. What was the decision that Dan Campbell made? Do you guys remember? Did he was it clock management?
They brought it down to like the 15 yard line or whatever,
and they couldn't get the field goal off.
He tried putting the field goal team on with 10 seconds left or whatever, and they ran out of time, and it was a disaster, and we needed those 3 points.
Yeah.
And you know what? That easily he could have fallen on the sword, even though it could have been Phipps. You know, you never know. Phipps could have made the bad decision, and coach could have said, "Hey, that's on me." So, man, what a man. We need that drop, bro.
Yeah. So, I mean, we just sum up what we've talked about so far. Like, we've got the injuries. It was an ugly win. But what have these coaches shown us thus far? They have shown us that they develop players. They put them in the best position to their strengths. And so we got new guys like Kawan Alexander, David Long Jr. at linebacker that are going to get a lot of playing time now. They're going to put them in the best position. That's what we know they've done all year. So, I mean, hopefully the rest of the year we don't have any other injuries to add on, but I still have faith in these guys to have a winning record the next 5 games. You know, at least 3-2 just from what we've seen this season.
Let's talk about the D-line, though. I mean, it's easy to really focus on the linebackers and the corners, but Reader is turning himself into a top tier in the league.
He got the game ball. Coach gave him the game ball.
Yep. And he deserved it.
Him and Aleem, bro.
They were going crazy the whole game. Mm-hmm. We still got bright spots. It's hard to, you know, you don't want to have the negative things blind you of the positive things you got going on in your life.
Yep.
But we're still a good team. You know, the injuries, man, they suck huge moose nuts. But I think we talked about before the pod about, was it Clay? Or I think Clay brought up the stat. What was that stat, Clay, on the pressures from the D-line?
I forgot now, but
I'll look it up in the chat. But I think we had the most pressures any game this entire season, even when Hutch was healthy.
Oh, yeah, dude.
The Darius had the D-line had 7-plus pressures.
Yeah, 7-plus, 7-8. Yep. So that's what's needed. Hey, I was trying to pull this audio for you guys real quick. How did you guys like that audio of the last play of the game? I pulled it up here. Hopefully it'll pick it up here. But let's just tie in for like the last 5 seconds. Who's Tony Romo's buddy? Jim Nance?
Yeah,
Jim Nance had me dying. Listen to how he describes the Bears right here.
15 seconds, and it's 3rd and 26. And one timeout left.
This is like the white box. You could have gotten numbers, but just in a better hurry.
Oh, this is a disaster in the making here. You're going to have to do something when it comes down to this play.
Disaster in the making. That's going to go down in the history book, bro.
I got a fun stat. My boy Michael Leslie, shout out to him. He always listens every week. So, but he sent me this stat. The Bears trailed by 3 points and had the ball on the 25-yard line with one timeout and 46 seconds left. They did not turn the ball over. They did not attempt a field goal. They did not call a timeout. They did not score. They lost 23-20.
And he's fired.
The Bears are going to bear, bro. The Bears are going to bear. All right.
I was going to say earlier, that was the one thing we had in our back pocket was Bears doing bear things, and they're doing
bear down. They're
doing same old Lions type junk.
That's right.
And we cashed in on that.
All right. Yes. So let's move on to the bold takes of the week. We need a little music right there for that. We'll figure out a new drop for that. All right. So bold takes last week. Let's see. Adrian's on the board with Caleb Williams throwing 2 picks. What do we got? All right, no picks there. Oh, there you go. Plax, Zadarius Smith, 2 sacks. How'd he get?
So close. 1.5.
But no.
Ugh. Caleb. Caleb was so close. Tom Kennedy is going to be a returning punt. I was the wrong practice squad guy off, man. They pulled up Alexander. And Clay, you had? I don't even have you written down here, bro. What'd you have?
I had Vildor getting an interception. You got that PI, though. So should have known.
Yo, what did my man AG said? He got it.
All right, here is what. I didn't write it down. Oh no, I wasn't with you guys, but I listened to it.
AG said no rushing touchdowns this week.
And when he said that, I about died listening to it on the pod. I'm like, there's no way, man. That's super bold. There's no way. And guess what AG is doing right now? He's on the board with one. He's on the board with 1 points, bro.
He cost us some money this week.
All right. Well, let's do the reverse. So, who do we got coming up next week?
We got the Pack.
The Pack.
Thursday night. Packers.
Man.
All right. Well, we'll start with the at the top.
Feels a lot different than the first Packer game.
Yes.
In case you guys don't think it's real.
Nice.
All right, Adrian. You got Packers. We're Thursday Night Football in Detroit. Mm-hmm. What you got for your bold take of the week?
All right. So I think as a team, we get 5 sacks.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing. All right, Plax, I got 5 sacks down for you. Plax, you're up. Bold take.
Man, all the talk about the injuries and the defense and everything, I think they come out. Ooh-ee. I think we hold the Pack to under to 14 or less.
Ooh. That is bold.
I feel like the chip is back on our shoulders. This is what we want. This is how Dan Campbell thrives. This is how Detroit thrives. Talk all that bull crap. Defense is going to show up. Let's get it.
All right, you're down. Clay, you got a bold take for us?
Yeah, I think this past yesterday was the return of Sammy Laporta. I think he's going to be on fire again.
Ooh.
I think he's going to get another 2 touchdowns.
Oh!
Bro, he's a fire, man. He's back. God, he's a game changer, bro. He's a game changer.
I'd say one, but I got to make a little stream, so I'm going for 2. Got to be bold with it. But he's back. He looked so good yesterday, you know. So, coach said he's the healthiest he's been all season. So, that feels good to hear.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready for the toilet. Get ready for the toilet drop, boys. My
hot
take.
Can't wait for this, Kayla. What do you got?
My bold take is pretty bold. Mm. The Detroit Lions suffer their second loss of this season. The Pack win due to injuries.
I could feel it coming.
Yep.
And that's it.
Hot right now.
I'm just trying to get a point on the bold takes. That's the only reason I'm doing this. I'm doing something bold, something that I don't want to do.
I hope you're wrong, bro.
It's going to happen. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But so hey.
Bold take.
Exactly.
Michigan win. Michigan beats Ohio State tomorrow.
That would be nice. That'd be nice.
I love it.
Do a little popping of the champagne for that one. All right. So listen, guys. We got a little bit of breaking news. I'll just give you kind of like a little bit of a heads up on this. It's kind of been in the works for a while. Oh, sorry, bro. It's been in the works for a while. So we are going to potentially have a Fox 2 reporter with us on the pod. This would be our first, media type. We've already had a player. So this could be our first media type representation on the pod, the All Grit. And so I ran into her down in Indianapolis at the Indy game. We met up at Harry and Izzy's. So I'm not going to drop her name just yet because I'm hoping she can come on the pod. But if she does, it's going to be a great, great interview. So I hope all you boys can make it for the interview whenever we shoot that. Sir. I told her to give us 2 dates back. That's good for her. And so we'll try to work around her schedule. So awesome. Anyway, that's going to be a sweet interview if we can land her. So
mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Hey, besides that, Adrian, what else did we add to the pod that the people out there can help us out?
So if you follow us on social media, you might have seen already, but we have now opened our pod to contributions from anyone through donations. So if you guys like what you hear every week, donate to your boys. You can find us on social media, on Instagram or our RSS website. It'll have a link straight to our PayPal account, which I believe is All Grit Pod, grit with two T's. You can send us a donation, pay our bills, or maybe you want to send us some beer money. But already this week, shout out to Jonathan McEwen. He has already contributed. He said, to be clear, he said in his note when he sent a donation, he said, to be clear, this is for bourbon and not coffee.
Let's go, John.
Thank you, John. Let's go.
Appreciate you, bro. Our first donation on the pod. Appreciate that.
Will not go to waste.
Now we can get Plax some, I don't know. We already got you a microphone. So, I don't know.
Hey, leave me out of this.
He said bourbon. He said bourbon.
I might just get you a whole computer now, man. So
I could use one of them.
You still shoot on the iPad, bro?
Yes.
Nobody would have guessed, dude.
I've never needed a computer in my life until now. So we're gonna off season is gonna be tremendous. We got goals, and we're looking forward to 2025.
Woo! Awesome. All right. Well, on that note, I think that's all we got, guys.
To end our podcast today, we actually have a special treat. We want to be thankful for, as a Lions fan, where we came from. We came from losing games, just like the Bears did, to now being at the top of the league. So in that spirit, we wanted to share an awesome little song here from, if you know him, he's from Dumb and Dumber, Jeff Daniels, the one and only Detroit Lions super fan. He made this song that describes where we're at. So with this, we'll end our pod today. Thanks for listening, y'all.
On my phone was Peyton Madden. He said, Jeff, I feel your pain. Will you join me in exorcising? Curse of Bobby Lane. Just like that, we started winning. Just like that, we were playoff bound. Just like that, way up in heaven, Bobby Lane turned around. Now say goodbye to all that sorrow. Say goodbye to all that pain. Say goodbye to same old Lions and the curse of Bobby Lane. Yeah, say goodbye to same old Lions and the curse of Bobby
Lane.
Let's go.
All right, boys and girls. That's us, the All Grit Podcast. For Adrian, Caleb, Wax, and my boy who's going to the game next Thursday, Clay Bowley, bring us back all kinds of good old insight from the game.
Let's go, boys.
Represent the pod everywhere you go, baby. We out.